Thinking Basketball Podcast. My name is Ben. Welcome back to the first and possibly last ever playoff draft. 2024 playoff draft. The super playoff draft. The ultimate playoff draft. I feel like drafts always have like a name. Like the ultimate. Remember when TNT did the playoff draft? Not the playoff draft. The all-time player draft that we did the watch-along for Patreons. Yeah. Remember, wasn't that called the ultimate fantasy draft?
Why haven't we done that more? Just a lot, not a live watch along, but a pre-recorded watch along of some kind of NBA thing to comment on. That felt like that was fairly popular. It was also early on. I feel like we could be more refined with that kind of content going forward. Who knows? Well, I wonder if people would even be interested in that.
It's because we are slackers, like Marty McFly. He was a slacker. His father was a slacker before him. I myself come from a family of slackers. But today we're not going to slack off Cody. Today, this is like Cody's dream episode. He has been asking me for 2 years. He texts me every week. He says, Ben, I need to draft something. And I said, okay, that's cool. But like, there's only one NBA draft a year. And we don't do a lot of draft stuff. But we have been over here in these parts of the woods talking about the playoffs, obsessing about the playoffs, waiting for the playoffs to start. And I started thinking about and talking about, like, who's going to do really well in the playoffs, who might fall off in the playoffs. And lo and behold, we could draft who we think is going to perform the best in the NBA playoffs. We could even make it a team. We could put some restrictions on it. And that's exactly what we have done, and that's what we're going to do today. So before I explain how this is going to work, before we start, do you have anything that you would like to say to the people out there? Because I know you're chomping at the bit.
In terms of drafting, Ben, I often think about this in the line of business that we are, where we talk about basketball on a podcast. If we had, if we were talking about a different medium, say TV shows or movies or video games or books, you could draft till the cows come home, Ben. Like, you could do any year, you could do genres, you could do authors or directors or stars or anything like that. Basketball's tougher. Like, it's a little bit more difficult to try and fit in specific drafts into here. So I know I've been begging you, Ben, pleading every week, like you said, to draft something, but there's only so many things that you can draft in a specific time frame. So that's just me saying I'm very hyped about this episode, and I hope the people enjoy this, because I don't know if anyone is more excited about it than I am.
No one's more excited than you. Let's clarify that right now. Here's how this is going to work. Okay, there are a handful of categories that you need to fill out on your draft ballot, basically. And those categories are going to be determined by the quality of the players that are available. So let's start with the first category. The first category is all NBA. And we will explain who those players are in a second. You need to pick one player who is an all NBA player to fill out your ultimate 2024 playoff team. So this is for the 2024 playoffs that's coming up, how we think they're going to play. Then you get to pick an all-star. We will give you that list in a second. You get to pick a sub-all-star. Remember, here around these parts, we select a sub-all-star team every year. So there's a handful of players, about 20 players from the sub-all-star list. You get to pick two role players, and you get to pick a sixth man. You could pick role players in any of the categories. If you could slide anybody anywhere, it's just they get more restrictive as you slide down the team. You can pick in any order. You don't have to pick your all-NBA player first if you don't want to pick your all-NBA player first. So one all-NBA player, one all-star, one sub-all-star, and then you round out your team with two role players and a sixth man, okay? Some players are ineligible. You notice I didn't say anybody. I didn't say MVPs. I said all-NBA players. So the MVPs in the league, Nikola Jokic has won a couple MVPs. He might win another. Joel Embiid is the reigning MVP. Your good friend in Milwaukee, Giannis Antetokounmpo, he has won multiple MVPs. Stephen Curry has won multiple MVPs. LeBron James has won multiple MVPs. And just for posterity, just to keep it nice and simple for everyone at home, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, they have all won MVPs. Whoosh! They are not allowed. They're ineligible in this draft. You're not allowed to draft them. You have to build your playoff team without just going, I think Nikola Jokic is going to play good in playoffs. You can't do that.
Well, that list also includes one more person.
Because he's the only other person to win a finals MVP in this group. And, just because it's nice and neat, and in basketball culture, the finals MVP carries a lot of weight. There's one other. He doesn't have a regular season MVP, but he has a finals MVP. That's Kawhi Leonard. So he's in the MVP club for the purpose of this show. He has two finals MVPs. Maybe two finals MVPs is kind of like one regular season MVP in the basketball zeitgeist. So he's out. Those nine players are ineligible, and that leaves a group in the all-NBA group that we could pick, and all-stars and so on.
Do you want to start going through those guys? I don't know the best way to present it all, because we're just going to throw out a bunch of names at people, but they can keep up. The listeners can keep up.
No, they know. Everyone listening to this has deep knowledge of all-NBA teams and all-stars and things like that. So for the sixth man, basically, you just have to have started fewer games than you have played. I think there's a minimum minutes or games required. Is there a minimum minutes? No. You just have to have started fewer games than you play. Why can't I say this? Less than half the game. Everyone knows the sixth man criteria. Less than half the games. You have to have started less than 50% of the games that you've played in. We'll refresh you a bit on the sub all-stars because that's from our podcast picks from a couple months ago. The all-stars that are available are the following players, and they are players that did not necessarily make the all-star team one-to-one, but it was the only way we could really get the sub all-star category to be nice and clean. So our available all-stars to pick from are Bam Adebayo, Chet Holmgren, Victor Wembanyama, we're going to say something about this in a second, Kristaps Porzingis, Lauri Markkanen, Tyrese Halliburton, Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Maxey, Jamal Murray, Damian Lillard, De'Aaron Fox, Trae Young, Anthony Edwards, and Paul George. Now, here's the thing, Cody. We are drafting for the playoffs. I don't know if you've noticed, but the Spurs are not going to make the playoffs this season. So, essentially, Victor Wembanyama is ineligible. Essentially, anyone on a team that has no shot of playing in the playoffs is ineligible. That's the trade-off here.
That honestly, that hurt a lot. Because since we're not going in an actual order, we can kind of pick from any category. There's a lot of different strategies. I think I texted you like an hour ago, like, crap, I was really planning on getting Wemby. And you responded like, why did you think that you were going to be getting him?
Cody thought he was going to get Wemby with one of the all-star picks. So effectively, the all-star players we're picking from are Bam, Chet, Porzingis, Halliburton, Brunson, Maxey, Murray, Lillard, Fox, Edwards, and George. Now, the all-NBA players, these are players that have made all-NBA first or second team in the last two seasons. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Luka Doncic, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, Jimmy Butler, Jaylen Brown has made all-NBA second team. And then the last one is DeMar DeRozan. Yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Anthony Davis?
I think Anthony Davis didn't make one, right? But but Anthony Davis is like, doesn't go in any of our other categories. And so just to not make the draft absurd and put him somewhere weird, we are also putting him in the all-NBA. He doesn't have an MVP, and we could slide him into one of the lower groups, but I think it starts to break things. So we agreed beforehand that it would be all-NBA players plus Anthony Davis. So if we've lost you, this episode is only going to get better. If you're staying with us, this episode is only going to get better. This is just the beginning. So now we have to decide who picks first. And without further ado, Cody, unless I'm forgetting any housekeeping, it's time to get this team built up. Let's go.
And I think the important thing to remember is we're not going to do a full-blown snake draft. Whoever goes first, the second person who's picking.
Forgot about this, yeah.
So the second person who picks will get two picks in a row, and then we'll go in a traditional draft style where we will alternate until the last round when the first picker will get two picks in a row and we'll end with the second picker. If you don't know, if you didn't follow that, that's okay because you're not the referee of this. We've got this. We're gonna follow our own rules. And you just have to nod your head and think about some of the players we're talking about. That's the vibe we're going for today.
Without getting deep into the weeds of like fantasy football culture, the snake draft has problems, and we did not want to expose those problems. So the short of it is we're going to snake the first like two rounds. You know, Cody or I will go first, and then we'll pick fourth. And then we're not going to snake, and then we're going to let the other person snake first. That's basically what we're going to do. But don't worry about that. Just know when we say it's somebody's pick, just trust us. We're good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the snake works when you have more than two people. All right. I'm going to flip. What do you want to call it? You got to trust me, everyone. I'm an honest man. That's all I've got in this life is my honesty. So what do you want? Heads or tails?
I will pick good old fashioned heads. Wait, do I want to go first? Is it going to be heads? Should I pick tails? If I get heads, do I get to decide? Do I want to go? Yes, I'll pick heads and I want to make the choice to go first or second.
Okay. I think this is a great conversation because I do think it's equal importance to go first or second. Like, I don't think... I'm like 50-50 on them. All right, I'm going to flip. What did you call?
I'm going heads.
All right. Oh, I got a little sound effect of a coin. It's bouncing. It is heads, Ben.
Yes. I'm going to pick second. Every year, people ask me about working in basketball professionally or even how we add people to the Thinking Basketball team. And Sports Business Classroom is one of my go-to answers. And let me tell you why. It's professional, hands-on teaching from industry leaders and experts that sets you up to work in basketball. Alumni have gone on to work for multiple NBA teams, major media outlets like The Athletic, Clutch Sports, and more. This year's new lead instructor is ESPN's Bobby Marks, and the curriculum covers scouting, analytics, media, and the salary cap. The program is a 6-day immersive experience that takes place July 14th to 20th in Las Vegas during Summer League. And for a limited time, use the code THINKINGBASKETBALL for $600 off early bird registration. Interest is at an all-time high right now, and there are only 125 spots in the program, so you currently use Thinking Basketball at sign-up for $600 off that early bird price if you're interested at sportsbusinessclassroom.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh, you're going to... Okay. I don't know if I could have been disappointed either way. So with my first pick, I can pick from any category.
You can pick from any category. Yes.
Pick from any category.
Yes.
I am going to pick from the all NBA groupings of players.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought so much about this.
I'm so nervous right now. When you said you're going to pick from the all, my heart started fluttering. Yeah. Who are you going to pick?
I am going to start with Luka Doncic.
Wow.
Right. I'm starting with Luka Doncic. Here's the thing. I think in terms of like synergistic type, I was thinking of synergy. So I had some wings for lunch today, Ben. I had some wings. I was at a restaurant and we walked out of the restaurant. My wife was like, man, I really wish there was like a candy shop next door because I could eat something really sweet. And I'm like, this is great. Like, this is a synergy I can get on. Like, B-dubs, let's say B-dubs, that's not where we were, by the way. But if you had, like, Buffalo Wild Wings combined with, like, a crumble cookie, like, if you remember in the 2000s when Taco Bell and KFC combined, I think B-dubs and crumble cookie should do the same thing. They'd make a killing that way. My whole point with this is that Luka Doncic, we kind of talked about it in a previous episode, I'm not really sure the synergies with a Helio guy, like a super Helio guy, and I think it kind of takes some of the fun of some of the team building that'll go along with it. But Luka Doncic is just brilliant, man. Like, this is a guy that when I'm going first, I just think I need to have him on my team.
I'm struggling. I'm struggling to breathe, Cody. This is wow. Okay, so that means
did you not expect it or did you want him?
No. I told you right before Cody and I have not shared any strategy. Mm-hmm. He has a very specific strategy, which in retrospect, maybe I shouldn't have passed it to you to enact your specific strategy. But my strategy was to wait and see what Cody does because there's so many different directions you could take this in. So you're taking Luka first. Yep. That passes it back to me for two picks.
Yep.
This is really, really what I wanted here.
Oh, there's one guy really, like out of everyone, there's one guy I don't want you to get right now.
Well, I'm going to take him. It's good. Actually, I don't know. You picked Luka? That means okay. That means you're probably trying to... It doesn't even matter what you're trying to do, Cody, because I'm trying to pick the players that are just going to kick butt in the postseason. That's what the whole point of this exercise was.
God, I'm so disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I'm just live here on the radio having to make this decision. You've got your whole team planned out, and I have absolutely no clue what to do. I think I'm going to take... I am going to take from the...
My hand is shaking, Ben.
Yeah,
my hand
right, is literally shaking. When you announced all NBA, I was like more nervous than I've ever been on a podcast listening to what you were going to pick. Okay. So let's talk through... this is horrible because I can't talk through too much. Yep. But, no, if I talk through too much, I'll give away my strategy going forward.
I have a strategy I'm sticking with, Ben. I'm not changing.
Okay.
Talk it out with me.
I'm going to take Jamal Murray.
Oh, wow. Oh, I love this. What's your reasoning on Murray?
I'm going to take Jamal Murray because when I look at the All-NBA category, they're really... Let's look who's left. Anthony Davis, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, Jimmy Butler are essentially my candidates there from the All-NBA category. The lead offensive guys, the guys who are going to be tasked with really driving the offense in the playoffs... You've got Mitchell, you've got Booker, you've got Tatum, you've got SGA. There's some things happening with SGA that I'm nervous about that we could go on the fence with. If we take the game against Milwaukee this week, now, I'm hoping it was just an off night against Milwaukee because he had a disastrous game everywhere, like help defense, man defense, could not get by anyone, could not get by defensive stalwart Damian Lillard, could not get by defensive stalwart Malik Beasley, could not get by Brooke Lopez on switches. So I'm like, okay, maybe that's just a bad game. But also, as we've discussed, the game is a little bit more physical right now. And when you are allowed to basically touch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on his drives, that takes away a lot of that slipperiness. That takes away a lot of his incredible ability to collapse the defense and hit those driving lanes and get free throws or cause problems. And that was a big factor in the game against the Bucks, where they just could not get the offense in first gear, basically. They just could not get it out of first gear, I guess, would be a better metaphor. So as good as Shai is, I'm a little nervous about picking him in that top line area and saying, like, okay, this is going to be the guy in the playoffs that wherever the Thunder end up, we look at and we go, man, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, what an incredible postseason. Tatum might be in that group, maybe, in terms of like someone who has considered a really good postseason run. But as we've talked about before, I think of Tatum as a great defender. So I don't think of his offensive ceiling as like, hey, can I have a better offensive playoffs than what Devin Booker did in his 10 scorching hot games last year? Mitchell has always had issues with injuries, with the hamstring and the ankle and just little bumps and bruises. And I'm just not sure what's going on with the Cavs right now. We just talked about them last episode. So those are like my offensive initiator options. And I just kind of know or just kind of trust, like, you know, the whole Denver machine, Jamal Murray playoff thing. If you look at the next line, if you look at the other categories, I think that's my best value. So I'm going to take Jamal Murray sort of with that role in mind with my first pick.
Okay, so there's a couple of things going on. Strategy-wise, I think I'm going to give you a strategy. You obviously know this, but it's in your best interest not to pick an all-NBA guy right now.
Oh, yeah,
now,
that's
right?
That's going last.
Yeah,
because
I'm capped out. And now All-Star for me is capped out.
Yep.
Right? Not for capped out, but I know you can't pick there, so I'm going to wait for that one to the end. But for full disclosure, Ben, my entire theory of the way... I'm not going to say too much about the building, but if you happened to go first and you were going to take Luka, then I was for sure going to take SGA, right? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And because, like you said, I know you have some qualms, you have some concerns about SGA, and I think I'm a little bit higher. I think every other time I watch him, the stuff he does in terms of getting into the paint, setting up some tough shots for himself, the passing, I do think the passing is a little bit of a concern, and I think if he's pressured quite a bit more in the playoffs, maybe that'll affect him, but he has such a good squad around him that it doesn't concern me that much. All that I'm saying here is I just think that his ability to touch the paint, maybe the fouls will drop off a little bit. I believe in it quite a bit more. I think the defense I'm a lot cooler on. I think a lot of people talking about him as like an all-defensive candidate. I'm not there, but I do think he's at least like a viable enough defender, right? So had you taken Luka first, SGA was my second all-NBA pick.
Okay. Now we go to the All-Stars. Or wait, I just picked from the All-Stars.
You just picked the All-Stars.
That means I'm going to probably take an All-NBA player later, which means we have the sub-All-Stars, the role players, the sixth men on the board. There's a couple guys I want.
I know.
From the different categories, there's a couple guys I want. I'm very nervous, Cody. I'm very nervous about how you're going to approach drafting these different categories. So I am going to... What? Why are you making that face? Why?
There's one guy I really don't. If you don't say him, I got him instantly. Just there's one guy. Just
instantly?
One.
Okay. There's like... one. I feel like there's two... Maybe I should have saved my Jamal Murray pick and picked these two players. Because now I'm deliberating between two players. I think I'm going to get crazy. I think I'm going to get really crazy. With my second pick in sixth man.
No.
I'm going to take a sixth man. Okay?
Okay.
If you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing Cody's face. It's just priceless. I'm taking Trey Murphy III with my second pick.
You did it. You've done it. You've ruined everything, Ben. You've ruined everything. Oh no, Ben. I can't believe it.
You were right. This is the best podcast.
The entire theory of me having Luka was that Trey was going to come off the bench, and he's such a sniper from long range, and he's such an underrated finisher, cutting the basket, throwing down lobs. I know you just picked him, but you
have to pick a team that the players play well in the playoffs. We're not actually going to get to see Luka Doncic and Trey Murphy III play together. You don't have to be overly concerned with Luka lobbing. Cody's upset.
I'm picking for my team, Ben. I am picking to build the best lineup here. What I'm going for. Oh, my God. This is amazing. This is the best. All right. Why do you think he's going to have a breakout playoffs?
I'm actually nervous that I don't know if he's going to have a breakout playoffs just because of minutes. But when you look at the sixth men, for me, there were only a handful of sixth men that I kind of pegged, and we'll talk about it as we go later in the show and the strategies get more revealed. We'll talk about sort of the guys I think are in a position to have good playoffs, or at least have the appearance and the opportunity in their role in their teams to have good playoffs. Whether they play a series, a lot of people are going to play a series, whether they play a play-in game, so someone's going to get picked probably at some point that's only going to play a play-in game. Heck, Luka may only play one play-in game. You know, Cody's entire theory of Luka dominating in the playoffs, it may go up in smoke in one play-in game. So, yes, my guys, I think, are so good that they're going to fit together regardless, but I'm definitely trying to look and see, like, where's the talent, where's the value? If the Pelicans, even in a series, you have a guy coming off the bench like Trey Murphy III, there's only two or three other players I was really looking at who could come in, which is why I'm not actually sure that it was the best. Now that I'm thinking about it, you could have taken Trey. I could have gotten one of those guys. But anyway, it's your pick. I've stalled long enough for you. Let's go.
Okay. This is great. No hesitation, right? I'll take in Jalen Williams, J-Dub.
See, this was where I messed up. I absolutely blew this. I blew this.
You didn't blow it.
No, I did, because it was. I should have taken J-Dub and Trey Murphy III with my first group. You would have never taken Jamal Murray. You would never have the sensibility to pair Luka with Jamal Murray. It would offend you. It would offend your basketball essence to pair those players. And I've fallen right into your trap. And I feel like Vecini about to sip the Iocane solution. Go ahead. Yes.
What?
Yes.
Is that? I thought you were talking about. Never mind.
It's a Princess Bride reference.
Oh wow! Yeah. For some, you said. Vecini. Thought you were talking about an NBA analyst.
You thought I meant Sam Vecini. I'm talking about Vecini from Princess Bride.
I was so confused.
Keep it together, Cody. Come on.
So J Dub, talk about him for just a second. This guy is special. I mean, this guy is so good. He coexists pretty well against somebody that has the ball quite a bit, which is something that Luka Doncic will have basically on any team that he has. He can shoot the ball. I mean, he's not the greatest catch-and-shoot player. Like, he's a good shooter, don't get me wrong. But if you're stacking up, like, tiers of shooters in the league, you'd probably want somebody that's, like, the highest-tier shooter. Like, Trey Murphy III is somebody that just pulls wherever he catches the ball. J-Dub's a good shooter, though. He's definitely a good three-point shooter. He can create, but it's the defense, Ben, that I really trust. He's such a flexible defender. He's always sneaking on the back line to get a block once in a while because he's just so long, and he just catches people off guard. I'm a big fan of J-Dub. I think he's one of my most excited players to watch once the playoffs get started this year.
This is horrible. This is good. A tragedy.
This is
so
best.
He's so good. He's mm-hmm. so good. He's got chutzpah, this guy. I think Oklahoma City could get punched in the mouth in game one, maybe game two, but maybe game one of their playoff series. And he's going to come back. And he's too smart. He's too long. He's too athletic. He's too wily. He's too skilled. He's too good of a shooter. He's too good of an everything. This is, Luke. All right, it's my pick, right?
It's your pick. Yep, who's up?
It's my pick. So
yep.
You've picked in the, okay, let me see. You've picked in the sub All-Star category and the All-NBA category.
Yep.
So I'm going to have to pick a role player, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we get two role players.
We get two role players. Two I'm going to have players. To take from this hilariously long list of role players that we have, and we need to take two of them. Now do I do what I did to myself earlier and leave Cody, one of my magic role players that I love quite a bit? There's a couple guys here that I'm looking at. The question is, do I take the guy from Cody?
You can't take two of my guys. You can't take two of my guys.
Ben. Well, it's only fair because you got Jalen Williams, and I realize that hurts me deep inside. Mm-hmm. I'm very hurt by this whole thing that's taken place. What else do I do to stall on this show? This is the worst. I can't actually talk out the players because then you'll know the players that I want because there's two players in this category. By the way, the role players, it can basically be anyone in the league that's not listed from our all-star, sub-all-star, all-NBA players that we picked earlier. So I've got like three guys I'm looking at. I think they're going to have good playoffs. I will take, in the role player category, this is just... Man.
Well, see, you got to start. I'll help you out a little
yes,
bit here.
Yes, please.
You got to think like I am a little bit here. Don't even think about the breakout.
So
what
badly.
I want you to do is I want you to look at the two guys you have. What, you have Jamal Murray and Trey Murphy.
Yeah,
like,
no, who, they can who's go with guy, anyone.
Who compliments Jamal Murray? Like, what's a guy that if you were out there, that sure, is he going to have a good playoffs this year? Of course he's going to have a good playoffs. You're not going to pick someone with a bad playoffs. But who's going to match up well? Who's going to synergize with Jamal Murray? Who's going to bring some of the things that's either going to elevate his game or cover some of the stuff for Jamal Murray?
Well,
and that player is, who is it, Ben?
Well, I mean, it could be Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who is, I think, a good fit with Jamal Murray.
Absolutely.
It could be Michael Porter Jr., who's a good fit with Jamal Murray.
You're just listing his teammates.
It could be Aaron Gordon, who's a good fit with Jamal. I'm just listing his teammates, of course, because they're all good fits with Jamal Murray.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I dislike this game thoroughly, Cody. This is horrible. Okay. I am going to pick why are you looking at me with this is a devilish look you're giving me.
I'm just so excited.
No, this is the worst game I've ever played, and I'm going to pick I don't like any of these options. I thoroughly dislike all of the options on the board.
Mm-mm.
No. I don't like any of them. I don't want to play anymore.
You're just gonna give me. You want to give me your pick?
No. Can I trade a pick to you?
I don't even know how that would work.
Why am I picking? This is horrible. I don't think any of these people are going to have a good playoff. I'm looking at an entire list of players. I don't think any of them are going to have good playoffs. Okay.
You're breaking my heart.
I'll take Aaron Gordon.
Okay. Oh, I think that's a good pick. He synergizes with Jamal Murray. He's going to have a good play. He had a good playoffs last year. I think about the physicality he brought. I think his efficiency actually dropped from the regular season to the playoffs. But the defensive flexibility, Ben, the fact that he and Murray know each other, you have some built-in chemistry. This is good. This is good stuff.
Now it's your pick. Come on.
It is my pick.
I've done all the work for you.
Oh. All right. So now this is great. I'm set up where I don't have to pick my sixth man yet.
How is this good podcasting? Listening to me perseverate in pain.
I think people want to listen to somebody be in pain, want to see the wheels turning in a way publicly that makes them think, oh, man, I would not want to be in that position.
Yes.
But you know whose position they want to be in? They want to be in my position as I pick Jalen Suggs.
I was going to take him. I was going to take him just to give it to you. But I there's a reason I didn't take him. I didn't take him.
Do you want to talk about that or no?
In a second. Okay. I want to talk about there was two players that I didn't take in that spot that I was just in. And I'll say it because Herb Jones was another guy. Mm-hmm. I just don't want too many Pelicans. Like, what happens if I get a bunch of Pelicans and they just lose in five? All the Pelicans can't play well in the playoffs if they lose in five games. That doesn't make any sense. So I just didn't want to overly index and put all my eggs in the Pelican basket. Hey, Pelicans lay eggs, right?
Hey, that's smart. I like that. I don't think Magic lay eggs.
For me, I was able to come up with something that made sense. Who'd you pick?
Okay, so Jalen Suggs, though. First, like, again, I'm drafting for this fit. Like, if you roll out Luka, J-Dub, and Jalen Suggs, there's a lot going on. Jalen Suggs doesn't need to have the ball. And I think when you get to the playoffs, right, it gets a little bit dirtier and grimier. The Magic seem to really be digging their heels into this whole dirty and grimy thing going on. I'm sure Jalen Suggs is probably going to come up in an upcoming episode for us at some point. But we're talking, like, motor. Like, grab and go off defensive rebounds. One of the best shot blocking guards. He's also a big guard, so it makes sense. He's like 6'5". He's very athletic. And just hounds people all over the place on defense, right? Just does thankless things out on the court. And I think the playoffs is where the thanklessness is paid off. So Jalen Suggs is my pick.
Okay. Back to me?
Yep, back to you.
This is hilarious because this is like Cody's dream podcast. This is like he's been waiting for this podcast, and he's just shining left and right. He's like, he's got strategy. He's got a draft board. He's got all the blurbs to say. He's the way he's moving in his chair as I struggle with angst. It's all like, and meanwhile, this is why I never do this stuff. I don't mm-hmm. know what to do. I can't wrap my head around it. Okay. I think I know who I'm going to take next, though.
Yeah, I think you do too.
I need to get into a comfort zone. I need to get into a comfort area where I feel grounded, okay? I can talk about something like the sub-All-Stars because you already mm-hmm. picked the best sub-All-Star, Jalen Williams, mm-hmm. all right? If you look at the rest of the sub-All-Stars who are going to play in the playoffs, I'm very interested in the Derek White, mm-hmm. where he's perceived when you get to the end of the postseason. Because short of some crazy seeding mismatch upset thing going on, you're going to have another deep run from Boston where they play a ton of playoff games. And I think you're going to see the improvements in Derek White that he's made in the last two seasons and in the last season. For some reason, I feel like, remember when J.J. Redick was making the like Derek White should be an all-star argument?
Yeah.
Just pounding the table on that. I feel like the sort of reaction of a lot of people was that, well, Derek White's just like one of these solid kind of do-everything guys. He's very similar to like a Marcus Smart or maybe not as good. He's like a good defender, but what else does he's like 12 points per game? And the thing is, when you watch Boston, his shot is way better. His release on his shot is better. He's running more pick-and-roll offense for them. Is he a great passer? No, but he just does a little of everything. He's super smart, aware player of what's going on in the scheme, flexible defensively, moves around, makes all the little plays, offensive rebounds. I mean, it's actually fitting in a way. It's going to be lost to history forever. But his incredible putback in Game 6 mm-hmm. in Miami, I mean, that was like the most Derek White play ever, from sneaking in for the rebound and then quick releasing it. So Derek White is certainly another player. I had Jalen Williams and Derek White written down.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of... The other player here that I think is just under the radar and is going to have a good postseason if they make the postseason is Draymond Green. Because mm-hmm. Draymond Green has been... I don't know if anyone's noticed, but he's been playing great since he came back from suspension due to Dennis Rodmanism. Let's just call it that, right? Just like suspension due to being... He went full Dennis Rodman. And by the way, we love Dennis on this show. But like... Ever since he's come back from that, if you look at the splits, the Warriors are like plus 10 with him on the court and minus 3 when he's on the bench. He's older, so it's not like peak Draymond, but it's just been very good. And I think when you get in playoff matchups against the highest level opponents, that's when he shines. That's when he does his best work. Cody, the issue is that Golden State might not really make the play. They might have like one play-in game. And I know you've put some eggs in the Luka basket here, but like I don't know how comfortable I feel banking on Draymond Green playing just one play-in game here, because the Warriors are struggling. Mm-hmm. It's been a bit of a struggle.
And isn't it just a couple of years? Was it 2021 when they lost in the play-in game? I forgot who they were playing.
Two play-in games. They lost two play-in games. To the Lakers in a very, very close game. Yep. Down the stretch where there were basically no fans at that point in time. And then they lost to Memphis in another close game down the stretch. So they went 0-2 in the play-in in 2021. So that's Draymond. I think the other big gun here is Zion Williamson. And this is what I was referring to earlier about just like how I don't want to just pick all a bunch of players from one team in the East or one team in the West. But Zion Williamson has also been playing much better. Physically, he's got a little more pop. He's shed some pounds. He's a little quicker on the first step. I think defensively, he's probably playing the best defensive basketball he's played as an NBA player, which is not great defense, but moving around, a little bit more awareness and understanding of what's happening. So those are the guys to me that I look at from this category and think of in terms of kind of having like big playoff stuff happen. Cody, how do you feel about Franz Wagner?
I mean, down year of shooting, I think he's pretty incredible at creating rim attempts for him and his teammates. He's so plodding with the way he drives, and I think the way that his driving game works makes me believe in it a little bit more in the playoffs, right? He's really good at, you know, he gets in there, he maybe spins a little bit, and then he's so big that all of a sudden he just like reaches and he's at the rim. And so I think that sort of thing helps him a lot. I would like the passing to be better, and I like the three-point shooting to be better, but obviously if those were better, he'd be an all-star level player. Obviously, the defense, I think it's going to hold up pretty solidly because he's a big body in there, but I don't. When I see Franz Wagner, I'm not necessarily seeing a guy that I think is going to have like a big playoffs, right? I think it'll be business as usual as we've seen throughout the season.
Yeah, there's one more guy here for me, and the injury is a concern, and that's OG Anunoby, because I think if the Knicks can have two really good playoff series, they win the first round, they have a great fight in the second round, or even three playoff series where they win two rounds and get to the conference finals, I think it's going to be in part because of all the stuff we've detailed in this season that OG's able to do and his fit there and just the whole New York Madison Square Garden vibe and all that. So I think that's a great pick as well, but I'm a little concerned about his elbow. That, you know, it's his elbow, right? He just had the surgery, I think. Yeah.
Was this? I'm not even going to say.
I don't know.
You're probably right.
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody had an elbow injury. Okay. Just trust me on this. Somebody had an elbow injury. Yeah. It's his right elbow.
Okay. Okay.
I think with all that said, I can pick from this category whenever I please, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. But absolutely. There's still role players on the board, and you could take a role player at any time. And I really want to take another role player before you do. That's the thing.
That's smart.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm going to take Jonathan Isaac from the Orlando
Magic. Oh, wow. Oh, this is big. This is big time. Speak on Isaac. Speak on it.
Well, he has this minutes restriction thing going on that we've talked about earlier in the season, but he has had a number of games in the last 2 months where he plays over 20 minutes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just scanning, it's almost 10 games where he's played over 20 minutes. And in fact, the last game as of recording this, he played 23 minutes. He scored 25 points in that game. Mm-hmm. He's taking a couple threes here and there. So much so that in the last month, Cody, he's shooting 65% from downtown. He's shooting almost 70% from the field. And none of me taking Isaac is really offensively based. It's all around the insane defensive wrecking ball that he can be in a playoff environment for, let's say, 20 minutes a game. That's what I'm looking for. I don't assume they're going to get him into the starting lineup. I don't assume we're going to see 28 to 35 minutes, but it looks to me like he's in a position where he can play like 18 to 25 minutes, 24 minutes, something like that, in some of these key playoff games. Just be part of maybe even some of the closing lineups, depending on his minutes restrictions and the matchups and what's happening. The last time he played in the playoffs years ago, it was just unbelievable. It was absolutely unbelievable. It was like, this guy's going to be the defensive player of the year. And he has those moments again. And if you watch what's happening recently with the Magic, you know, they've been playing really good basketball for like the last 2 months. And in the last 2 months, this guy, Cody's only playing 17 minutes a game. And they're like plus 5 per game in just those 17 minutes. That's plus 10 over regular 34-minute game sample. So his impact looks incredible, and I think he's just ripe to be a phenomenal role player story in this postseason.
I think you're spot on with that, where if he does get 20 to 25 minutes, if he's even able to play, like there's a game in there where he plays 30 minutes or something like that, that's a changer. Like, that is a game changer for anyone that the Magic... Who are the Magic slated to play right now if the playoffs were to start? Is it still the Knicks? I thought it was a Magic-Knicks setup last I checked. And,
yes, okay.
Yeah.
Today it's technically the Knicks. It's a half-game fluctuation with the Knicks and the Cavs. It was Cleveland, yeah.
Honestly, we should petition for that to change, right? It's not fair that those two teams that are going to bring this just bully ball defensive sensibility have to match up with each other. We need to spread the wealth a little bit. I think Indiana needs to move into that spot, into that fifth spot, so Indiana and the Knicks can play in the first round. I think that's a fun push-pull between the offense and defense. And that would open up the Magic to play against the Cavaliers, which I think is a really fascinating, what are Mitchell and Garland going to do against this monster defense? That's what we need, right? We don't, like, as much as I want to see a series of teams going like 76 to 82 for seven games, I would rather some of that wealth be redistributed, right? So, I don't know. Isaac, I think, could be a huge game changer if he gets consistent minutes.
Cody, we've done our thing that we always do, where we leave the best part in the lead until later in the show for whatever reason. We're very strange.
Absolutely.
It's because we got too hyped up about the drafting and I was way too nervous. And as everyone can see, I have no idea what I'm doing. And Cody's like an expert at this somehow. He does this all the time. This is a huge principle that I've been struggling with as I draft. Mm-hmm. It's been a guiding thought in my head. The officiating shift. Mm-hmm. The points of emphasis that have made the game more physical. I referenced that Shea versus the Bucks game the other day, but it applies to a lot of players. If the game is more physical, I think you need to have a skill set or a way of providing impact that is in line with that older style physicality. Like, mm-hmm. like that Bucks Thunder game that I was talking about, it was like 46-43 at halftime. But it was really good basketball, right? You still had like, oh, there's a counter, they take it away. Oh, there's this pet timeout out of bounds play. Like, there was a lot going on. It wasn't like nobody could, it wasn't just like, oh, this is terrible basketball all of a sudden. It's like, no, it's 2024 basketball with the X's and O's, the strategy, the skill, everything we're seeing with the spacing and the tactics. But now you get a little bit more physical in the paint. Now you get a little bit more physical on drives. So when you're a guard, this is why I like Jamal Murray in the playoffs. He's big. Mm-hmm. He likes to bully dudes. He doesn't just rely on some particular foul baiting thing or one single move. He's getting in there for his tough shot bag, right? Like, you're going to ride my hip. I'm going to push back. I'm going to spin. I'm going to shoot over you. So Aaron Gordon, another one of my picks. Just like the physicality and the fact that we might see playoff games in the 90s. That's something that might happen outside of that Orlando-Cleveland NBA TV series. I know that 4-5 matchup in the East is that battle for the NBA TV series that Cody's going to watch probably every second of. But Like, this is a thing that as I go through and look at these players in each category and try to pick one or two guys that I think is going to break out in the playoffs or have a really successful playoff run coming up, I am thinking about this mid-season shift toward allowing more physicality, mucking up the game, having the game, you know, when you're switched out on the perimeter. If you're Jonathan Isaac and you're switched out on the perimeter and you get you're allowed to get a little bit of contact as someone drives into you, like, good luck shooting over him. He's like, yeah. So I don't know if you have thoughts on that, but that's been a thing in my head the whole time as I go through this.
No, I think that's a great theory, and I like how you brought up Jamal Murray in this case, because I think when people talk about the officiating change and they talk about how defenses are probably going to be a lot more physical, especially from what we've seen from the change midway through the season, it's not just defensive players we should look at. We should see the guys that are creating on offense who can bully themselves into position, right? And I know you talked about it a little bit with your concerns about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, where it's like, will some of the ref baiting stuff work? Will some of the dancing back and forth and, you know, maybe not being quite as, what should I say, first step explosive, is that going to hurt him more than some of these other guys? Which is, you know, Luka Doncic, I take him first. That's a dude that's going to get to his spot no matter what, because he's just so physically strong, can keep the dribble basically no matter who's hitting him, invite the contact and create from there. That's why I believe in guys like Jalen Suggs, like these kinds of guys that are going to go out there that invite physicality on both offense and defense, who are going to rebound the ball hard. And I know, you know, rebounding can be a nebulous thing, but you need to grab a rebound at the end of the day, right? Who are going to get into people's faces, who are going to be okay getting hit driving to the basket. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think the guys we've picked so far reflect that pretty solidly.
Yeah, exactly. Last 2 months, Orlando Magic with Jonathan Isaac on the court. This is a stat I pulled right before the show, and Cody was like, what are you losing your mind about? I'm like, this can't be right. Last 2 months, the Magic are plus 18 per 100 possessions with Jonathan Isaac on the court. They are minus 2 when he is off the court. Yes, that's right.
There. Plus 18.
Plus 18 minus per 100 possessions when he's on the
Jokic
court.
Jokic, yes. On off number.
And minus 2. But that's not the fun part, Cody. The fun part is that when he's off the court, the Magic have a 115 defensive rating.
Don't do this.
And when he's on the court, they have a 103 defensive rating. Just going to leave that right there. Whose pick is it? Is it yours?
Oh, my God. It is my pick. All right. So you're done with role players. By my count.
I got in there. I got my sixth man and my two role players.
So it means I'm done with role. I mean, I can pick freely from role player, six man, or all star.
You can speak freely for those categories. Yeah.
This is good. I'm going to save the best for last. So people don't tune out just yet. All right. Maybe this is the best. I'm going to talk about my role player. And I think this is really tough because I'm down to three guys. And I'm genuinely, and you don't have a pick, so I'm okay talking through my strategy. Right. And again, I'm trying to build a functional team here. Okay, so I want some guys that can play some defense. I want some guys that can shoot and be a little bit more functional. My three guys I'm coming down to are the aforementioned Herb Jones.
Yes.
The aforementioned Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Why did you just get a thumbs up?
Are you looking at the screen now?
Why are you getting a thumbs up?
Is this AI? Is it taking you up? So for anyone that's not watching, I'm putting a thumbs up, and on the screen, there's like a thumbs up button appearing. This is wild. What's happening right now? Are we being watched? Is Big Brother on this episode right now?
What is going on?
This is the best.
Okay,
All right,
what are your three players? Sorry.
Herb Jones, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and let me give you a guy. I'm not going to pick him, but I'm considering him. His team might not make the playoffs, but I think he'd be a great playoff player. And it'd be my third Jalen, Ben. That would be Jalen Johnson. Of the Hawks.
Oh, yeah. Right? But they're not going to make the playoffs, right?
I know, but if they would, I think Jalen Johnson would be a fun sleeper pick.
Yeah, that's a great call, but they're not going to make the playoffs. Can I tell you, Herb was one of the guys that was causing me so much struggle earlier. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Herb.
I want to talk about him. I don't know how long I was stalling on those picks. It felt like 20 minutes. It felt like 20 minutes of podcasting where I was just like, I'm not allowed to say any names. Herb Jones, he's just been so good lately.
His
three-point ball.
I know.
The little extra actions on offense. Just defensively, he's everywhere. But again, I was a little too concerned. Once I pot committed myself to Trey Murphy III, I was like, what am I just going to have a team of Pelicans that loses in the first round? This is so weird. So, yes, I think Herb is a great option.
So Herb is great. He's shooting 43% on threes. But the last two seasons, he was at 33% both seasons,
but it's
right?
Legit. It's legit. It's Fred. I think it's the the coaching, the shot. It just looks better. I'm not going to say he's a 43% three-point shooter going forward, but he used to be a guy you could ignore from downtown, and I just don't think you could ignore him anymore. I think he's at the minimum made that Marcus Smart 2022 okay. bump of like 36-37%.
So that's basically my only question, because I think KCP is undoubtedly a better, more consistent shooter across a wider span, right? I think he's more consistently around the 40% on higher volume. This is another guy that just gets into it on defense. We saw him playing like a really important role on two championship teams. Was he on the Lakers?
Yes.
Championship
yes.
team?
He was on that. Do you know who was on that Lakers 2020 championship team?
Dude, Alex Caruso, KCP,
Danny
LeBron
Green.
Davis. Who else was on?
Danny Green.
Oh my God, that's yeah. amazing. That's how you team build. That right there is incredible team building around LeBron. Props to whoever put that together. Anyway, it's really close between these two guys. But here's the thing: KCP already has a couple championships. If the Pelicans are going to make a deep run, Herb Jones' shot has to be legitimate. I'm taking a bet and not one of these like gambling bets. This is like an honor and integrity bet on Herb Jones. So I'm taking Herb Jones with my role player pick.
All right. You have Luka, Jalen Williams, Jalen Suggs, and Herb Jones. I have Jamal Murray, Trey Murphy III, Aaron Gordon, Jonathan Isaac. Hmm. Whose pick is it?
It's your pick. So it's your pick, and then I get two picks, and then you get the final pick.
Wait a second. It's my fifth pick.
Yes.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's my fifth pick, and then you get two picks.
Yep.
So what categories do I have left? I have All-NBA, mm-hmm. and I have Sub-All-Star.
I'm really fascinated to see your All-NBA pick.
Yes. Now I kind of have to fit this team together mm-hmm. around these players that I've selected. Well, or do I? Cody would do that. Cody would try to make this the best fantasy team.
Absolutely.
He could possibly make it. This would just be so much easier if I had Jalen Williams. I think we went through all the sub-all-star candidates. For the all-NBA candidates, Anthony Davis, let's start with mm-hmm. him.
Yep.
I think my biggest concern is just the Lakers don't get very far. The flip side is Anthony Davis is just like a playoff machine, mm-hmm. even including the in-season tournament, which has this single elimination like, hey, we're going to, we got a little extra time. We're going to try to specifically game plan for someone. The Pacers are really hot. We have Anthony Davis. We can do whatever we want. Also, go back to the physicality thing. Anthony Davis, just as the game gets more physical, we had that whole bit last year about bamming Bam. I mean, he's the only player to do that. He bammed Jaren Jackson Jr. So I think Anthony Davis right there is a possible pick for me because mm-hmm. he just continues to excel in the playoffs. We've talked about Tatum. I might want to come back to him in a second. Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler's like Mr. Playoffs, but also every once in a while, Jimmy Butler's horrible in the playoffs and the Heat just do nothing. Is this just going to be one of those years? I mean, the Heat last year were like so close to not even making it out of the play-in tournament, and they're back in play-in position again this year. So that feels risky. Devin Booker was great in the playoffs last year, but I don't know what to make of Phoenix, Cody. Isn't Phoenix also in the play-in tournament? Can we get an accurate assessment? Do we have like the odds of what's going on?
Oh, I don't have odds.
I guess Phoenix has gone from 8 to 6.
Oh, Phoenix is 6. That would have lost money on that.
They're a half a game ahead of Dallas, who's in the 8th position. If Phoenix is 6, they would play Minnesota in the first round. Oh my goodness, that is a fascinating playoff matchup.
That'd be fun.
That is really, really fascinating.
Could really stress test the Rudy Gobert drop sort of thing.
I'm not sure how much the physicality. I feel like the physicality makes Booker a little less valuable.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like when you can't touch him as much, he can get that clean dribble or two into the driving lane. That's when he gets his rhythm. That pull-up that he had last year going in the postseason is incredible. Still a good tough shot maker.
Well, looking at his teammate, Kevin Durant, isn't that essentially what the Celtics were able to do to him in the first... Was that last year or two years ago?
Two years ago. This is why I'm concerned about mm-hmm. putting too much in the Phoenix basket.
Yeah.
Right now. So I guess for me, it's really Tatum or Anthony Davis. I think those would be the two guys I would look at. I'll go with Jason Tatum.
I like that pick.
Yeah. I'll go with Jason Tatum.
I think I touched on it like briefly last episode. I really like Tatum because he lets you, from a team building perspective, do a lot of different things. He doesn't cap you in any way. He allows you to play in a bunch of different ways. I don't think he takes away anything from Jamal Murray or whomever else you have. And, you know, the flexible defense thing. I think Jason Tatum is just great for building high quality teams around. So big Tatum fan.
All right. You have two picks now. What are you going to do?
I don't know if that was a hot take where I'm just like, I really like Jason Tatum. He is quite a
Jason
basketball
Tatum
player.
Is solid at basketball.
Jason Tatum is the most perennially eighth best player in the league of anyone I can ever remember. It's unbelievable how he's like never gone above that in my mind. Maybe someone's going to be like, he was sixth in 2018. That's not true. But
right.
You know what I'm saying.
You're stalling. You have two picks right. And you're feeling the pressure.
I have two picks. Yeah. So one of them, I don't want to spend as much time as six man. I'm going to build up to my all-star pick because I think this is a big discussion. You really screwed up my life with this Trey Murphy pick. And I've been spending this entire episode trying to figure out what I want. Because I want a little bit of size.
Can we just back up? Screwed up your life by giving you the first pick so you can enact your strategy perfectly, but I took your sixth best player. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Trey Murphy was bringing it all together. Oh, man. So here's the thing. Initially, I was like, Al Horford. I like Al Horford. He plays well for the Celtics. He spaces the floor. He always seems to bring it defensively. He played like 30 minutes a game in the playoffs last year, but I don't know how I feel about the production. He's like 900 years old. I just don't know how much more Al Horford has to bring to the table. But again, I think an extremely important cog for the Celtics, maybe less so if Porzingis is healthy going to these playoffs. So maybe not Al Horford. I kind of want to bring in some, you know, I thought maybe Bobby Portis for a second. I don't know if that's a homer pick, but he brings energy. I like, again, guys that can bring the energy, gets in people's faces, can spread the floor, especially for Luka Doncic. But I'm going with some new blood this year, Ben. I'm going with someone new. Somebody that I think is going to have, especially in light of a teammate being injured, so it might be cheating. I might be cheating a little bit with the six-man thing. I'm going to go with Naz Reid here. I'm going to go with Naz Reid.
Okay.
And from the team building perspective.
This is in six-man, right?
Yep. I really like Naz Reid with Luka Doncic. That seems nice to me. That seems like a nice pairing. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm wondering what you're going to do defensively. Yeah. But okay. You still have one more pick, so we'll get there. I do like it offensively. Naz is a very skilled offensive player. So who's your last pick going to be?
Okay.
What do you need? What category?
All-star.
Oh, wow.
So
I like how you said that. You were just all-star. Yeah.
It's three guys
Mic
I was
dropped.
Thinking of. I'm going to eliminate one of them right now, but he was really close for me. Paul George, I thought about a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I need a little bit more size in my starting lineup. I need a big man.
I think you're going to take a guy that I almost took.
Here's the thing. It's down to two guys. Then.
Yes, it's down to the two guys. I was so in my first pick. Okay. In my first pick, I was like, if I don't take Jamal Murray, I could end up later with one of these two big men. And now I think you're in that exact position. Who are those two big men, Cody?
They are Chet Holmgren and Bam Adebayo.
Wow, I thought you were going to say Chet Holmgren and Kristaps Porzingis.
Oh, you were thinking Porzingis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kristaps Porzingis is a dangerous dude.
Listen, the Luka Porzingis train has left. Like, I can't count on that again.
You're back with your whole my players that play on the same team with each other, even though they don't play on the same. Okay,
no,
yeah.
That doesn't work for me. Okay. Here's the Bam theory. Here's the Bam theory. Luka's a good pick and roll player. I think we can all agree with that premise. Can you imagine Bam having that much space to operate kind of as like a lob threat, but also as a power play Draymond Green type passer? I know that's passe to say that at this point, but Bam has a lot of heavy load to carry for the Heat. It hurts his efficiency a fair amount. He's a good defensive organizer, right? I think this is another guy that most people are a little higher on defensively than I am, but he's a good defensive player, right? And I don't know, just the way that this team is built, I think you have an extremely flexible defense. And I think, like I said, Luka gives him a lot of space to operate. Chet, on the other hand, great rim protector, I think probably even a better rim protector than Bam, can space the floor. We see him coexisting already next to J-Dub and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, except we're replacing that with Luka in this area. And I think in reality here, the Thunder aren't making it as far as people are expecting them to if Chet doesn't live up to his regular season hype. So again, Bam's been to the finals a couple of times. We don't know if the Heat are going to make it that far. I'm taking Chet as my all-star.
All right. So that gives you Chet Holmgren, Naz Reid, Herb Jones, Jalen Suggs, Jalen Williams, Luka Doncic.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that team. I'm happy with them.
You like that team.
And you have one pick left.
I have one pick left. It's from the sub-all-star category. We went through all these sub-all-stars earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to go with OG Anunoby.
Whoa. Ooh, yep. Ooh, that is good.
Yep.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, from the New York Knicks.
I thought about him a lot. The injury thing, I mean, I didn't think about him that much because I'm taking J-Dub over him for sure. But OG's a really good pick. I really hope he's healthy. I know he wasn't healthy even for the championship run for the Raptors in 2019. But yeah, if the Knicks really want to Knicks it up, he's got to be out there doing his thing. It's just better, Ben, when the league is healthy.
He will be. OG will be out there.
Love that.
I have foreseen it. It's in his future. And I'm just ready for the Knicks to play a few playoff games. I'm just nervous about some of these other guys, picking some of these other guys like Draymond Green I would pick, but I don't know, man. Have you seen the rest of the Warriors? I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, it is tough.
Here's the problem with Golden State right now, with what's happening in Golden State. The other team scores more points than them at the end of the game. That's the issue. That's the hard-hitting analysis everyone comes for. No, I'm just not sure how far they're going to go, if they're going to be able to. When they look good, it looks like they can make a run. And a lot of it is because of Draymond. So I could go higher risk and pick Draymond. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should go higher risk and pick Draymond. Maybe I should change my strategy completely. But I also kind of feel like, oh, we're going to get some OG. Like, OG stuff is going to happen in the playoffs with the Knicks. I'll stick with OG. We've celebrated the success of Draymond Green many times on this show. So
yeah, no, I like the idea of bringing in some new names to talk about. Yeah. So that means that your team then is Jason Tatum, Jamal Murray, OG Anunoby, Aaron Gordon, Jonathan Isaac, and Trey Murphy III.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I like that. For all your perseverating, I like that squad.
I told you I didn't even have to worry about fit with the guys I'm interested in.
But they fit well, though, I think. More or less.
You're not going to score on this team. It's going to be impossible to score on this team. Yeah. Impossible.
This is great.
The average height and bench press of my team is like 6'9", 400 pounds.
Who do you think on that team has the best bench press?
Well, I thought you were going to ask leg press.
No,
like bench. OG you said and bench Aaron press. Gordon. Yeah.
We're going to go. Who is the best bench press?
Bench press?
Yeah.
I have no.
I don't think it's Trey. Like, no shots against Trey Murphy. I don't think it's him.
I don't know. Bench press is such a silly exercise, especially
for NBA
players.
I'm not saying this means anything. I'm not saying it is like a commentary on their moral
NBA players
aptitude.
Have very long arms. It's a very long distance for all that weight to travel. So.
This is probably Jamal Murray.
Do you have anything else to say about this? Once we hit 1 hour into the show, Cody really wants to get into the gym corner.
I do think that if we had a bench press if we took our two squads and had a bench press competition, yeah. I think your team would win. I think your team would pretty easily win. Although I think Jalen Suggs secretly could have some crazy bench press numbers.
We should also point out that as like a bonus, we could see how our two squads fare against each other. Yeah.
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 I like that.
So you have
in bench press or basketball?
No, basketball. Okay. Because your team, you're going to start Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have Jalen Suggs next to him, which is a really cool pairing because you get that like Jason Kidd, Dallas, Swiss Army, defense, offense, passing, push pace. And what's Jalen Suggs shooting from downtown lately? Like 58%?
Yeah.
He doesn't
miss. I think he's 40 on the year though.
Man, he's just so good. Mm-hmm. And then you have Jalen Williams, J-Dub, from the Thunder, who's just like a bigger version of that exact same thing. Second side offense, attack closeouts, good shooter, can spell Luka. So both of those guys can move without the ball. Then you have Herb Jones, who's a 3-and-D player. This Herb Jones, I guess, in that lineup is like a significantly upgraded version of Derek Jones the third.
Yep.
It's the third? Junior. Derek Jones Jr. Did I just make extra lineage for Derek Jones? Derek Jones Jr.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Are you thinking, is Derek Lively a third?
Derek Lively's the third. It's just a lot of thirds and juniors going around. Trey Murphy's a third. Okay. And then you do all that and you have
Derek Lively is a second. Yep, that is my mistake. Derek Lively is a second. That's
okay, so he's not a junior, he's a second.
Yep, yep.
What's the difference between a junior and a second?
It's a great question.
Aren't you a teacher? Shouldn't you know this?
Okay, this is, people are like, Mr. Hornack, have you read this before? And I'm like, no, it's like, aren't you an English teacher? Like, do you know how many books have been published in the history of humanity?
Just English.
What were you going to say?
Yeah. Yeah. You only need to read all the English books. It doesn't seem like a very big ask. Okay, so Chet Holmgren is your center on that team, and he can shoot and do a lot of stuff, and he can play with Luka. Yeah, that team could win a championship, Cody.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I think the bigger question is, would that be the best team in the NBA?
So that five-man lineup.
Yeah.
That's tough because you have to assume then that Jokic is a lineup somewhere.
Yeah.
So
is that team better? You have no Nuggets. Is that team better than the Nuggets? And is that team better than the Celtics? You have no Celtics either.
Wow.
Pretty close, I think.
I think they could be.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty close. Okay.
What I think is interesting about your team compared to my team is you don't have a traditional center like anywhere. But if we look at the starting lineup, Tatum, OG, Gordon, and Isaac. Like you don't even need a center. Like that's just massive. It's massive. We have two traditional guards between us.
I don't like guards. They're very tiny people. Yeah.
It's fair.
No, I think the interesting thing. What does this team look like?
Mm-hmm.
We could. I'm fascinated by the defense. What would we do defensively to your team?
Well, it's a good question.
Your team would have a hard time scoring on this team.
I mean, does Luka have a hard time scoring? Like, period?
No, but relative to the efficiencies that they would have.
I do think that this would be like a sub 100 offensive rating series.
Yeah, this would get grindy.
No, this would be awesome. This would be the best basketball that's ever been played.
I mean, let's take a side. Okay. So you have, I think you have a bit of an issue because Naz Reid's not really great defensively.
He can function, though.
Right. But Luka is an issue defensively.
Yes.
Like, that's just an issue right now. That's a thing. I will say I was not going to pick Luka Doncic under any circumstances in this exercise.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, this is amazing.
Yeah. So you think that you are a believer that he could go through and have a nice playoff run a la 2022?
I mean, yeah.
I don't know. We're just doing a post show right now. I don't know what we're doing. We should have ended the draft. Yeah, go ahead. It's
no,
a commentary on our own show. It's getting very meta.
I mean, haven't we seen like Luka take it to the like, you know, more idealized Clippers team a couple times? He made it to the conference. He didn't make it to the conference finals.
No. Those were the 2 years they lost in the first round.
Oh, okay.
And they made it to the conference finals in 2022. Yep. They beat the Suns in the second round. And they had fun with the Jazz in the first round.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Although,
didn't he miss the first two games of that series? Wasn't that the Jalen Brunson carving people up?
Maybe. That sounds
Somebody
familiar.
Somebody missed the first two games of that series.
But yeah, anyway, my theory with Luka is, do I think that he could have like one of the best 20 offensive playoffs we've ever seen? I don't know. I think with Luka, that sort of thing's in play, right?
Wow.
And that's my theory of Luka.
Wow. By the way, you missed the first three games of that series. The Mavs won two of those three without
that
him.
That can't happen.
Back in.
That can't happen.
Yeah. So, man. All right, you flip it around. I'm going to have to think about some offensive philosophies for this team if it were to
come
together.
I think the issue is, You say scoring, like how is your team
it's just
gonna consistently
like,
score?
I don't know how we're gonna have to put Trey Murphy the third out there to space the floor. What does he shoot from downtown? Like 45%?
I thought it would secretly lower than everyone thinks, even though he's actually a better shooter than... Am I wrong?
Can you look that up for us?
He's shooting 37% from three this season.
On the season, yes, but he likes to take a lot of adventurous shots sometimes. What are his open... Absolutely. If you look at his open three-point shots on the Thinking Basketball database that we have for Patreon subscribers, he is shooting 41% on wide open threes. That is a little bit lower than you would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but he has the ultra green light.
Why did you Jedi mind trick me into picking him then?
Well, he has the ultra green light, which I think functions really well next to like Luka.
Yeah.
You have to guard him like he shoots better than he does.
You know,
and I think he's a good defensive player. And I think the secret thing about Trey Murphy is his finishing ability. Like he cuts in, he throws down like these enormous dunks out of nowhere because he's just all limbs and athleticism. The driving game isn't like super developed, but if it was, he'd be an all-star, right? But everything else is like a secondary finisher. It's incredible. You don't have guys that can shoot like that and finish at the basket like that.
I should have just picked all Nuggets.
Yeah,
that's what I should have done. Well, no, because the Nuggets are all better at everything than you think. Like, okay, so we just talked about Trey Murphy III, right? Mm-hmm. What is Jamal Murray shooting on wide open threes for the last three seasons?
It's a good question. Is it like 45%?
46%.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yes, he's just...
Good for him.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. So, I don't know. I think for a real team, I need more shooting. That's the thing. I have Aaron Gordon, Jonathan Isaac, and OG Anunoby. So, there's not enough shooting. But to make this team work, you probably insert Murphy into the starting lineup. You have Jamal Murray. I mean, you have Jamal Murray, Isaac. I don't know. Do you bring Isaac off the bench? I don't know how it works. I don't know what's going on with that.
That's probably what I would do. Yeah.
Let's just see it. Let's just wait to see it. If you want to support this show, patreon.com/thinkingbasketball. It's the best way to support us. It's also where we have the stat board for Patreon subscribers that we're looking stuff up. We have a Discord community with a live monthly Q&A and more. Cody, you're feeling pretty happy about this?
This is great.
This is the worst.
The one thing that makes me really sad about this kind of thing is that people are going to view it through a negative lens. Like, I think some of the discourse, if there's any discourse, right, if people talk about it at all.
Discord about this, yeah.
It's going to be like, why did you not pick so-and-so, right? Like, people are going to be like, why did you not pick Darius Garland? Ooh, like, why is Darius Garland not out there?
Why would Darius Garland be out there?
I don't know. Neither of us, I think our shortest person is either Suggs or Murray. Clearly, you and I both believe in size, right? So that's part of it.
So you're saying we're going to get nasty grams from sub-6-foot people out there accusing us of bias.
Unfortunately, people are going to be mad about something. If OG was on the Raptors, you wouldn't have even thought about him.
I don't know if anyone's going to be mad. More just like, man, poor Ben had to make these picks and he didn't know what he was doing.
Ben hates both SGA and Luka.
What about Anthony Davis? I didn't pick him.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know what to do. I didn't know what to do with any of these. Was it not clear that your each sort of player's playoff performance is relative to the tier he's in? Is that not clear?
I don't know. Okay. I never know what's clear to people.
Okay. Yeah.
No. I work in a job where directions are never clearly understood like you expect.
Okay. Maybe that would be a funny thing. Maybe if people were like, Ben thinks Jonathan Isaac is going to have a better playoffs than Devin Booker. That would be
good. Yes. Yeah. That might be.
Yeah, that would be good.
In fact, I think Isaac is going to be better than Booker.
Trey Murphy III's 9 points per game off the bench over Jimmy Butler.
I think one guy that if we could pick from non-playoff teams, I mean, it's actually sinful that Victor Wembanyama is not going to be in the playoffs. It is genuinely an outright tragedy for
the
NBA.
Can the league do something about that? You know how we have like anti-tanking? Yeah. Can we just like rent a playoff series for like send him to a team for a playoff series so we all deserve that. I got to go. This is like there's a Seinfeld episode where he's even Stevens and no matter what happens, he always comes back to even. He never gets too high, never gets too low. And he throws a $20 bill out the window, and he's like, look, I'll prove it to you. And he throws a $20 bill out the window, and Elaine comes back up and knocks on the door and says, I just found $20. And, you know, the reason I'm saying that is because that's what this podcast feels like to me today. It feels like this is Cody's peak. This is this was his dream podcast scenario where we just randomly draft formats about talking about the postseason. And that was balanced out by me having absolutely no idea what to do at any moment in time, anywhere, pretty much. Yeah.
I think you're a little down on yourself. I think this was apex for both of us. We could probably quit the podcast now and everything was fine. This will live on for posterity forever.
Thanks for watching this one or listening to this one. What are you doing? Watching would be better. You want to see the reactions, watching or listening all the way through, and hope you're having a great day.